All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Apologia TV. I'm Jeff Durbin, they call me the Ninja, and that is Luke the Bear.
What up?
And that is Joy the Girl.
Hello.
And we are going to have a very, very exciting conversation today with a guy that we love.
Mm-hmm.
We actually saw him years and years and years ago.
We did, yeah.
When we first started Apologia Christian Ministries, yeah. Before it was Apologia Church.
Yeah.
Was that like 8 years ago, maybe? 8 years? Somewhere? No, it's probably 6 years ago. Maybe. Something like that. But we went to California and we got to see Ray Comfort from Living Waters Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see Ray Comfort and his massive, massive Bible.
Yes.
The man has a big Bible.
Oh.
Do you ever hear about his Bible?
No.
It's ginormous.
Yeah,
I guess
it's
all
big.
The years of his ministry and evangelism at the beach, water.
I can see it from here.
Apparently will inflate your Bible.
I told you it was big.
It was. When he first came out, it was like, it looked like it was a joke, but it really is his Bible. Like, it is massive. So he is a great man of God with a very big book. And so I want to introduce, for the first time on Apologia TV, Ray Comfort. Thank you for joining us, brother.
Thank you for having me. That Bible is so big, often when I get into pulpits, people wonder where the voice is coming from.
That's right.
What's behind me.
And
it's my pocket Bible.
Your pocket Bible. So, Ray Comfort, Living Waters Ministries, fantastic stuff. You guys might know some of their stuff in the past they've done. In particular, very, really important evangelism course they did, The Way of the Master, used really around the world to point people to Jesus Christ. So, fantastic stuff. But before we actually get into all that content, I do have a special clip that we don't always play for people. Mm. And I'm actually going to play it right now, and I'm going to play it. And it actually works quite well.
Yeah, and in two ways.
Considering our guests. So here, this is for you, Ray. Welcome to Apologia TV.
Your beard is good.
Your beard is good. And that was Jermaine Clement from the Flight of the Conchords, who is from New Zealand, sir.
Wow.
Yes.
So what do you do when you have female guests?
Well, we...
Depends if they have a beard or not.
Yeah.
And if it's good.
Yeah, and if
it's not good.
Only if it's good, Ray. Only if it's good. And so you, I had a little discussion with... We actually have somebody that came today, Ray, from Australia, all the way from Australia, to come and visit Apologia Church. And when I said, is Ray from Australia or New Zealand? He was like, he's from New Zealand.
Yeah,
he knew.
He was very clear about that.
It's a very important distinction.
New Zealand. He's from New Zealand.
You don't mix them up.
So is that right?
You don't do it.
Ray?
Are you guys from Canada or US?
So, US.
Same thing?
US.
Yeah. Actually, Australia and New Zealand are 1,000 miles apart.
Yeah.
And Australians talk more like this, don't they, mate? Mm-hmm. There's a bit of a twang there. They've got some wonderful animals and a great rugby team and a beautiful country and nice people.
Yeah. Okay, so, Ray,
but
Living Waters...
But you're not one of them.
But I'm not one of them, just so you know.
Hey, so, Ray's got Lord of the Rings, so...
He does have Lord of the Rings, that's right.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me.
Yeah, you know. All right, so Living Waters Ministries, just in case, and I doubt it, our viewers don't know who you are, could you let us know about Living Waters Ministries, what you do, how you get started, all that stuff?
Yeah, started back in New Zealand. I began itinerating, way back 1978. I used to preach in the local square in the heart of our city, and people would say, come and tell us how you do that. And so doors opened up, and they eventually opened up in the U.S. Been in the U.S. for, I think, nearly 28 years. That's why I've lost my accent, which is like totally rad, dude. So that's about it.
That's okay. All right, so Living Waters Ministries, you stay obviously very, very busy. You've put out some amazing videos. As a matter of fact, 180, the video on abortion, is just fantastic. It's just so, so wonderful. And we actually hand that out at the at the abortion mill that we go to people. So tell us more about Living Waters and the stuff that you're doing right now.
Well, Living Waters started back in, I think, about 1974 when... an elderly Presbyterian minister insisted that he buy me one of those handheld, they're called gestetners, that you print stuff off, a handheld one, heading, you put ink into it, disgustingly sort of crude and dirty. And so I printed off, I think, 5,000 tracks, because some guy read a track that I'd written, called It's Sin, Not Skin. It was about racism.
Huh.
And he wanted me to print off 5,000, so I had to hand print off 5,000, and since then, I think something about 200 or 300 million have been published since then. So despise not the day of small beginnings. It's just been wonderful to look back and see what God has done with our ministry and then with the movies. we are blown away with the fact that our YouTube channel has something like 39 million views.
Wow.
You think back 30 years, Billy Graham would have a crusade in a city. It would take 2 or 3 years to pull all the churches together and get 80,000 people in a stadium, cost millions of dollars to run. Most of the people in there, probably 70%, were Christians. And yet, here we have, without cost or effort, a means of reaching millions of people with the gospel. The Apostle Paul would go crazy
if
he knew what we had with the internet, you know.
So
we are very, very thrilled, very thrilled. We're thrilled to be able to create movies, produce movies, and have people watch them, especially unsaved people.
That's right. Such a blessing, the gift of media and social media especially. So you have, and we're going to talk about this in this episode of Apologia TV, you have a new movie that's come out. It's called The Atheist Delusion, Why Millions Deny the Obvious. We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but Ray, could you let our listeners and viewers know about this film? What is it about, and what are they going to learn from it?
Yeah, it was a mistake. 8 months ago, I went to a college and I was making a small video for one of my publishers to promote one of my books. And I asked an atheist one scientific question I'd never asked atheists before. And within minutes, the guy changed his mind about the existence of God. He was an atheist, he was adamant, and then he says he believed God existed because of this one question. I was blown away, so I went to different universities and asked the same question and got the same result. So we put it into this 1 hour movie called The Atheist Delusion, and we sat back in the studio and thought, this is the best thing we've ever done by God's grace. And it brought tears to our eyes. And so we released it on atheistmovie.com, and thousands of people have downloaded it to help us financially. When you download it, you pay $20, you get free material, and you get to see the movie 6 weeks early, and you help us have the financial ability to produce movies of this caliber, and you win a free trip to Hawaii for two at your own expense. So it's a real blessing. So that's what that movie is, and we're super excited about it because it blows apart atheism. And we're putting our credibility on the line by saying something like this, but it really is true.
Yeah, we got a chance to review it, and I watched the whole thing yesterday, and I was impressed. It's beautifully done, and I think important for people to look at. So what we're going to do on the rest of this episode is we're going to play the trailer when we get back for The Atheist Delusion, let you guys get the information where you can go actually watch it yourselves, and we're going to talk about Ray's book, Fat Chance, and so stay with us. ApologiaRadio.com is where you get all the past episodes, the television shows, the after shows, Apologia Academy, where you can also learn about Christian apologetics by joining our All Access, a $7.95 donation. You get access to all of our content. Be right back. Ray Comfort from Living Waters with Luke and Joy and me, right back, ApologiaRadio.com. All right, we're back, Apologia TV. If you're just tuning in, you guys can get more at ApologiaRadio.com, and after this show is over, we are going to go to ApologiaRadio.com for the after shows. If you want to hear more from Ray Comfort from Living Waters Ministries, you guys can catch us at the after show at ApologiaRadio.com. That's Luke. That's Joy. I'm Jeff. And here is the Atheist Delusion official trailer.
That religion is just absolutely uncalled for. We are just mere things floating on a rock in space.
Believing in God makes no sense. It's to me, it's the dumbest thing.
We are not only figuratively, but literally stardust.
Are you an atheist?
I am.
So you're an atheist?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
I need to know what to believe in.
Like what happens when you die?
Yes, I don't want to be a bag of dust.
Did you know that 54 million people die every year? People just like you and me who love life. If you were shown evidence, you would change your mind because you're open.
Absolutely.
I think I am open to evidence. It just would have to be extraordinarily compelling, like out of this world compelling.
Has this made you think today?
It definitely has.
I'll definitely consider this
eye-opening.
Wow.
I hope I get enough guts to get myself out of this stinking planet.
You gonna kill yourself?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Can you see what you're doing?
Yeah. I'm lying to myself.
All right. right, there you go. The atheist delusion. That's fantastic. Ray, what did you? This is what's amazing. Is that it's so well done. And it's just compelling at points, and it startled me at a few points. Even some of the questions you asked, it was really, really phenomenal. What'd you film that with?
You really want to know?
I do.
iPhone.
There you go.
Wow.
That is the glory. Wow. Of this moment we're in, and you said it, Ray, at the beginning, with just the access that God has given to us to be able to reach into the entire world and spread the gospel so quickly, and you did it with your iPhone. It's just amazing.
And it's a microphone connected to the iPhone.
Sure.
Wow.
And it's easier to approach people. Well, everyone has iPhones put in their faces nowadays, and it's less intimidating for them than having a camera put in their face. So it was a great advantage.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so what I really loved, and I'd love to talk to you about this, Ray, I loved how you highlighted in the film so much of the atheist position and its logical consequences. And so that clip there from Neil deGrasse, where he talks about how we are not just figuratively stardust, but literally stardust. And you really pointed in the film to the bankruptcy of the atheist worldview at that point. You want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, atheism is the epitome of stupidity. And I don't say that in a cruel way, but it's just crazy. I mean, when I talk about this dismantling the atheist argument with one question, I like to say that for years what I've said has gone like water off a duck's back with atheists, but what this does is it rips the feathers off the duck. It gets straight to an argument they cannot refute. But an atheist is foolish because he denies the inner light that God's given to every man. Mm. Not only that, but he says something is just crazy, that nothing created everything. Not that everything came from nothing, which is what we believe, God was the cause, but they believe nothing was the actual creative force for everything.
Yeah.
Which is, we shouldn't even have to go there. It's so stupid and so insane, and yet it's embraced by people like Richard Dawkins and my friend, Lawrence Krauss, and I call him my friend now because we've become friends over the last few months. But it's just foolishness, and they have to be told this, and so many people are being duped by them, and there's a reason they're duped by them. Because people like Dawkins and Krauss are Pied Pipers that are playing a tune this generation loves to hear. And they follow gladly because atheism gives temporary license to delirious sexual pleasures. If there's no God, then pornography is okay. If there's no God, then fornication, adultery, blasphemy, homosexuality, they're all okay. Anything goes if there's no God. Along comes the Christian and says, hey, if you as much as look with lust, you commit adultery in the heart. God requires an account of every idle word. And we are a huge wet blanket for the atheist. So he'll fight tooth and nail, not to win an argument, but to hold on to the pleasures that he lives for. I mean, in his mind, a Christian is a kind of a monk existence.
Right.
With no pleasure in life. And it's just the exact opposite. You know, God created sex. He created Adam and Eve naked and commanded them to have sex. They seem to miss that part. If they understood that, they'd embrace Genesis and say, I like Genesis.
Yeah.
And so God's the creator of all these pleasures, but it's just like driving a car. You know, if I give my kid a car and say, okay, I just want you to stay on the right side of the road and obey the rules, and I'll be pleased. You'll have my smile. But if he gets drunk and drives on the wrong side of the road at 80 miles an hour, he's going to have problems. He's going to cause problems. And it's exactly the same with all the gifts that God has given to humanity.
That's
God's
right.
Given us sex, one man, one woman, and within the confines of marriage. And so they believe a lie, and it is a lie, and we want them to come to a knowledge of the truth because we love them.
You know, you did something in the film that I noticed quite often, and that was answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. You did a pretty fantastic internal critique of the unbeliever system and just bringing it to its logical conclusions. But Ray, what I was most, I think, encouraged by, brother, I was most encouraged by, and I know that this all is to the glory of God and it's because of his power in you and everything else, but I was most encouraged by the fact that when you brought them through this train of thought and you got them to say, okay, yes, my atheism can't work, you went right for some really tough issues mm-hmm. that you just mentioned. You talked about pornography. You talked about fornication. You brought it back to the gospel in a pretty compelling way. And I thought that was important because you didn't just do something that was a compelling apologetic argument that refutes atheism. You didn't leave them hanging there. Then you begin to deal with the heart issues, and you begin to reveal, and there was even an admission in the film, why it is you may still be suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. Now that you know that your atheism doesn't work, there's got to be some other reason, even compelling reason, that you're still holding this down. And you brought it right back to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was what I think I was really like taken in by and encouraged by. And there was a point I was actually driving.
Yeah.
Forgive me. I was not watching the film while I was driving.
Uh-huh.
I had it on my lap and I was listening to it. And there was a particular point where you were talking to a young man and you brought up the issue where his atheism doesn't work anymore. He grants that. And you brought up it's because of your pornography addiction and fornication that you won't do this. And I just startled me. I was like, wow, praise God.
Right for the jugular.
Right for the jugular. So, Ray, talk about that, because I think people need to hear that. Why do you do that, Ray?
That was Andrew, and he blew me away when he was so honest in front of me with the camera going.
Right.
You know, he said, that's right, you're right. And I said, what did you say? And he says, you're right, I'm lying to myself, which I thought was just wonderful, and I'm so grateful we got that on film. But, you know, and I'm sure you know this, I didn't learn this myself. I copied it off Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And of Paul, of addressing the conscience and not staying with the intellect. The intellect is the place of argument. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So when we stay in the intellect, we're going to get contention. It's always going to be there. They don't want God's moral government. So what you've got to do is find the ally in the heart of the enemy. I don't know if you've watched those old war movies where some guy's behind German lines and he's in a bar and he's trying to make contact, so he says the green grass is beside the white elephant that's chewing bananas or something crazy like that, and the guy finishes the sentence off and he's made his contact with his ally. When we bring up the commandments, we make contact with the ally of conscience, and the conscience is on our side. It accuses, it says, yeah, it's wrong to lie, you know that, it's wrong to steal, wrong to commit adultery, wrong to fornicate, look at pornography. The conscience bears witness. So all I'm doing is doing what Jesus did in Mark 10, verse 17, and what Paul did in Romans 2, where he says, you who say you shall not steal, do you steal? Now, I just wanna, I'm so grateful for what you just said and the encouragement, but I'd hate people to think that I was somehow gifted, and this is why. It's like going up to a guy who's just won a marathon and saying to him, boy, you sure are gifted. He'd probably turn to you and say, what are you talking about? This was hard work getting here. See these muscles on my legs? 40 miles a week for years, and a denial of certain foods to get into this. It's been sweat and pain and tears to get to where I'm. It's not a gifting. And it's exactly the same with evangelism.
Hang on one sec, Ray. Like Ray, hang on to that. Hang on to that one second. Be right back, guys. Apologia@radio.com. Hang on to it. All right, guys, welcome back. We finished that segment with Ray Comfort from Living Waters. He was talking about the giftings and running this race. And Ray, continue that thought, brother.
Yeah, so it's a marathon. Running a marathon is not a gift. It's hard work. And if you'd followed me over the last 30 or 40 years, you'd see a lot of sweat and pain and suffering and foot and mouth and falling over and bruising myself to get to a point where it looks like I'm a smooth runner. So that means anybody can do this. All it takes is practice. And I think it helps to watch a movie like The Atheist Illusion to see that there's no such thing as an intellectual atheist. They're very foolish people who deny inner light, and you can go around that intellect anyway and address the conscience. And I was pleased to hear you say you're encouraged to see that, mm-hmm. because it's equipping and encouraging. And one thing that greatly encourages me is that atheists love to hate me, and they'll watch my movies and they'll listen to the gospel, not realizing the gospel is the power of God to salvation. So
that's right.
It's very exciting to have a movie like this out there.
Absolutely. All the critiques of your content just gets the content mm-hmm. before more no. atheists, which I love. So let's talk, unless you guys, you want to say something, Luke?
Well, I was just going to say, one, I was really impressed that you scored an interview with Lawrence Krauss, because we've tried and it's difficult. So,
yeah.
So kudos there.
It was too.
I know. When you said you were friends with him, I was like, Joy. Can we ask Ray how to get a hold of him?
But also, I appreciated the fact that, you know, there was several people you talked to, you know, they admitted, well, yeah, this is foolishness what I'm believing. And you just didn't just leave them there in agnosticism, right? You said you went right to the scripture, point them to, you know, the Christian God of the Bible and drop the gospel on them. So I really appreciated the fact that you did it in that way as well. So,
oh, thank you. Yeah, Lawrence Krauss, I really love him, believe it or not. Him and I have got a lot in common. I found he's about my height, he's a little shorter than me, which was a blessing to find someone on earth like that. He's Jewish, and I'm Jewish. He's got a twisted sense of humor. I've got a twisted sense of humor. He talks about God a lot, and I talk about God a lot. He's incredibly intelligent, and I admire incredible intelligence. Anyway, I got this interview with him, and it was just amazing. You know, you may have heard I'm called the Banana Man. I'm affectionately known as the celebrity clown of atheism almost internationally. And it's opened huge doors for me. I've got to speak on the atheist experience for an hour and share the gospel. I've done interviews with the Friendly Atheist many times. Dawkins has promoted some of our stuff. Lawrence Krauss got an interview, and I've done other interviews with radio stations. So being Banana Man has opened up huge doors. And in fact, I'm writing a book called Banana Man, Behind the Peel, what's going on behind the peel. Sort of
thing. That's
so
awesome.
I'm very excited about it. This Lawrence Krauss interview, afterwards, something interesting happened. He shook my hand in the hotel room, and Penn Jillette was in the room, and another actor. And he said to me, "It's great to meet you. Goodbye." And I says, "Lawrence, you realize goodbye comes from Old English, 'God be with ye.'" And Penn Jillette says, "No, it doesn't." I said, "Yes, it does." I says, "It's in the dictionary." He says, "No, it's not." So someone says, "Google it." So Lawrence got out his phone. He's Googling away, and he says, "Uh-oh, there it is. Old English, goodbye, God be with ye." He says, "Well, I've learned something tonight, and I can admit when I'm wrong." And everyone laughed, and it was a great moment.
That's awesome.
Anyway, about 10 minutes later, I was on the sidewalk getting ready to leave Washington, D.C. outside this hotel, and Lawrence Krauss approached me, and he began talking with me with this actor friend of his, and Paul Parenza, I think his name is, and I got to witness to him for 30 minutes. What an absolute privilege. He's incredibly polite and reasonable, despite what you see on his videos. And I was able to say to him, "I love that video you made about hell." He said, "What was that?" I said, "Well, you said that a guy gave you a Gideon Bible, and you said, how much do you have to hate someone to believe that hell exists and not warn them?" And then he said, "If a truck was bearing down on you and going to hit you, the time would come, if you didn't see it, that I would tackle you." And I said, "Penn, I'm tackling you because I love you." And I went through the commandments, etc. And about 5 minutes later, two witnesses to this, Emil Zwane, E.Z. Zwane, president of a ministry, and another friend, saw him step onto the road with his buddy and almost get killed. There was a screech of tires. Penn Jillette actually spoke about this on his podcast a week later, quite comprehensively, talked about our encounter for about 20, 30 minutes. But he said, as he left, a truck, an SUV, screeched and actually touched the pant leg of his friend. It was that
no
caused him killed.
Kidding.
And so we need to pray for people like that, because I believe God preserved him for a reason. God raised him up and used him as a witness.
Penn Jillette is actually one of my favorite atheists today. I have so much affection for that man. I love the guy. All right, so this segment's almost over here. We're going to do more in the after show. Again, you guys can get that at apologiaradio.com by becoming All Access and hear more from Ray. But you have a new book called Fat Chance coming out. So, Ray, tell us about that, how that connects to all this.
Yeah, it's called Fat Chance, or Chance, and it says why pigs will fly before America has an atheist president. And it has two caricatures on the front, one of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. You may have heard of him, Donald Trump. Caricature, they're in front of the White House, and above the White House, pigs are flying. And it really is true. Pigs will fly before an atheist becomes president of the United States. It's illegal in 7 states for an atheist to hold political office. There's never been an atheist U.S. president. No atheists in Congress, not one. And even Bernie Sanders came out on nationwide television and says, "I'm not an atheist," because he knew it would be the end of his career if he was an atheist. In fact, polls say that atheists are as popular as rapists in America. And there's a reason why they are disdained, why they've made themselves odious in the nostrils of Americans. And that's what the book brings out. It's evangelistic, easy to give out. I think you get these for 50 cents each for our ministry and get a box full, so they're great to give away, and the whole thing is written in a New Zealand accent.
That would be fantastic, and I would read it as such.
Oh, that's good.
And you can get it on Amazon.com, by the way. Sorry,
okay.
I mentioned that.
Good, fat chance. All right, Ray, great. So, all right, guys, again, we're going to go over to the after show just for a little bit with Ray, talk some more. I'm actually interested in talking to Ray a bit about his methodology. I think that's important, and I think it's a real blessing in terms of always pointing back to the gospel. That's always been an encouragement to me, and I think a lot of people have recognized that, how important that is to point people to Christ and the gospel, to talk about sin and our need for repentance and faith in Jesus. Don't forget, you can go to missionalware.com. They support the work of Apologia Church. We think you guys should buy a t-shirt from them. That's actually one of my favorite shirts right there. Pastor Luke is wearing missionalware.com, and that is the lovely Joy the girl with
Oakley Doakley.
Yeah, it's my Oakley Doakley.
Oakley Doakley. Okay, wonderful. Oakley Doakley. All right, guys. So don't forget, guys, Apologia, all access. You guys can get the Academy as well, where Dr. James White and I do an Academy on apologetics. You guys can check it out, apologiaradio.com. We will catch you on the other side or next week. The conversation is going to continue at apologiaradio.com. That's where we're going to have our after show. We're going to have more content, more conversation, some really great stuff. You go over there to get it at apologiaradio.com by becoming all access. Go check it out. All right, guys, welcome back now to the after show, Apologia's after show with Ray Comfort from Living Waters. Want to first start by saying to everybody who is watching this right now, you are a blessing to this ministry. We could not do what we do as a ministry without you and your support. You make everything we do to bring the gospel into the world. You make it all possible. So whether it's the stuff on our YouTube channel at Apologia Studios, the evangelism videos, whether it's Apologia TV, everything that we do is made possible by God's grace in our life, by giving us you and your partnership and support. So we just want to genuinely thank you guys so very, very much. It means so much to us, and we are grateful. And every one of you who participate with us, you are a meaningful part of this ministry. So we're grateful, and again, 1,000 times, thank you. So back with Luke the Bear, Joy the Girl, and myself with Ray Comfort. I want to say, Ray, when I watched the film, not only was I think you, probably behind that camera, like shocked at some of their answers.
Yeah.
Like that's just such a tremendous blessing to have them on camera. Just grant from one second, I'm an atheist too. Yeah, it doesn't work. I was shocked by that. But again, I was really blessed to see the line and the consistent line that you drew in the film from addressing the problem, the internal inconsistencies, the bankruptcy of atheism, to talking about sin, and then to talking about the gospel and the need for Christ. And that just really, really encourages me. So you talked a bit about that, but I'd love to hear just from you personally, in doing the film, what was it like going to these campuses? Because it probably freaks some people out. Like, I couldn't ever do what Ray does. He goes and he just must know so very much. And I'll never get there because I just don't know what Ray knows. I can never really handle things in that way. What was it like for you personally? Were you scared? Were you nervous?
No, not really, because I know what the conscience does. It brings everybody down to a level playing field. I don't consider myself to be super intelligent. I can tie a knot and finish a sentence. But I can sit next to a professor on a plane, and he's got so many letters after his name, he seems like the mailman, and not feel intimidated, because I know that when I address his conscience, it's going to bring it down to that level playing field and have a man who's incredibly eloquent saying, yeah, I have lied, I have stolen. It happened with Penn Jillette. I mean, seriously, that guy is super intelligent. Even got to do magic for him, believe it or not. The subject of deception came up. I said, you deceive people through magic. I mean, any magician will say, you can't trust your eyes. He says, do you do magic? I said, I do, actually. And I went, whoosh. and did some magic for him, and he was very impressed. I couldn't believe I did magic for Penn Jillette.
Yeah,
but
that's
like
amazing.
I said, there's no intimidation if you trust in the weapons that God has given to us. You can push a soldier in the heat of warfare, and he's going to be nervous if he doesn't have confidence in his weapons. But if he has confidence in his weapons, that'll give him courage. And it's exactly the same when you understand the power of God's law and how it stirs up the conscience and prepares the heart for grace. So, no, there's not that nervousness, but there is a having to deal with my fears. By that I mean I get fearful all the time. I ride my bike every day because I want to keep this incredible physique. And if I see someone walking towards me like 100 yards away, there's something in me that wants to cross the street so I don't have to witness to them. Charles Spurgeon called evangelism an irksome task, and it is irksome. Every Saturday I preach at Huntington Beach. I go somewhere that I don't want to go to speak to people who don't want to hear, to say something I don't want to say. But I have to say it because I love them and I care about them, and I can't sit home and live in self-indulgence. So I went to these different universities, and it's really, really hard to find atheists. Well, the statistics they throw out all the time, you'd think they'd be crawling all over the place, but they're not. It's very hard to find them, number one. Then it's very hard to get them on camera, number two. And it's very hard to get an atheist on camera who's reasonable, because atheist and reasonable are oxymorons. An atheist, by definition, is unreasonable. He believes that nothing created everything, which is just crazy. So I must have said to 500 people over a period of 2 or 3 months, excuse me, I want to interview atheists. You wouldn't be an atheist, would you? And they'd say, no. And I'd say, oh, that's good. And it was just kind of crazy. And I even took along a 3-foot-high double helix, thinking it would attract atheists. That didn't work. I had a sign that said, I'll pay money to atheists for interviews. Sat at one university for 30 minutes and not a soul came up to me. They just looked at me like I was a weirdo. So I bent that up and put it in the trash. Stood there, and that's when this lady named Haley, who's the brunette that came up, and I said, are you an atheist? She says, yes. I said, can I get you on camera? She says, absolutely. And she was so sweet and so reasonable, and she's the one that said any evidence would have to be out of this world. And fortunately, I had some out of this world evidence, and she came around to acknowledging God's existence. Mm. She's a wonderful, wonderful girl. Pleased to talk to her.
So, I'm going to let Luke and Joy ask you a question in a moment here, but I have one more, and that has to do with the DNA question. That was compelling and, I think, important. When you do sort of an internal critique of the unbeliever's worldview, when you start to talk about things like information in the cell, and you talk about the language of life, that was an important aspect of how the movie kind of leads in to the whole discussion. Can you talk about that for a second? Because I think it's important for people to hear that discussion. When you start to talk to atheists today to show the bankruptcy of the atheistic position, you can talk about this amazing thing we have now of DNA and how the atheistic worldview cannot answer that question in a coherent way. So DNA.
Yeah, it was, like I said, there was just an accident how this happened. I was at a college just to do a little video for a book I wrote called Made in Heaven, with a lot of colorful pictures in it. And I put it in a guy's lap and I said, do you think that book could have happened by accident? And let me give you the scenario. There was nothing. And then paint fell from the sky and formed itself into color photos. And then black paint formed itself into coherent sentences with letters and capitals and periods and commas. And it made sense. And then more black ink fell from the sky and formed itself into page numbers in sequential order. Then it bound itself, did its own graphic art, and there we have a book. Could a book make itself? And they said, utterly impossible. That's ridiculous. It just couldn't happen. And they said, you know, scientists call DNA the book of life because it contains information. It contains programming. Information and programming that makes the book on your lap seem pathetic because it's so comprehensive. And it tells your cells how to make an eye, how to make hair, how to make skin, blood, bones. Everything about you was in your DNA the moment you were conceived. And is it possible that DNA made itself? And that's when I asked this first guy, his name was Adam, believe it or not, the first guy that I did this on. His mouth just goes like a road tunnel. He goes, and he couldn't answer. And it was, for me, it was a wonderful moment because it showed me that here we have irrefutable evidence. And I'm sure if you look on the internet, there's people said DNA is proof of God's existence, but they've never done it with the parabolic or the comparison of a physical book in someone's hands with a book of life of DNA and the programming that's in that. And that's what turned these atheists around. And it was just, it's just, what thrilled me is not the fact they changed their minds, but it opened their mind to the gospel, which is where I want to go. I don't want them to acknowledge God's existence because I already know they know God exists. We've got it in the book of Romans.
That's right.
The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. So everybody knows of God's existence. It's just so we have this group of people that pretend God doesn't exist because it gives them license to indulge in sexual sins.
That's, wow. That's it. You know, it's amazing too, guys, and this is something that really many years ago really just put an anchor down for me in the area of DNA, such an important area for us today, and just an amazing recent discoveries and being able to decode and really pull the words out and everything else. Essentially, this is the language of life, is that even when you look at DNA today and you can observe it with your physical eye and you can see the information in front of you, the information itself, it goes at a level deeper. The information itself is invisible. The information is immaterial. And so the atheist can not only not answer the problem of DNA in the language of life, they can't answer the fact that the information itself is actually immaterial. Right. Like a book, you've got the ink on the page, and that ink is ordered in such a way to produce words, to have coherent sentences and thoughts. But the world itself that you're reading about is abstract. That information is immaterial. And so when you look at even that on a physical level with DNA, the information of DNA is actually immaterial. Though you can view it with your physical eye, the information is immaterial. And unbelievers, atheists like Dawkins and Krauss, who are naturalistic materialists, cannot give any justification given their worldview of materialism, can't give a justification for immaterial, abstract thought. And so that's powerful, powerful stuff. We're in such a great time now for evangelism with all this stuff and then the media and the ability to just get this stuff out into the culture. It's fantastic. Last thing I'll say is this and let you guys take a stab at it. I'm really, really encouraged, Ray, by the fact that in everything that I've seen you do, you get people back to the gospel every time. And so that's one of the most encouraging things to me in ministry, especially apologetics ministries, is that it doesn't always get there. A lot of times you can have big name apologists who really give us some fantastic material and resources in terms of the history of the Bible, archaeology, science, and things like that. But they don't necessarily always get to repentance and faith and talking about sin and the need for Jesus. And that's one of the things that God has really given you guys the grace to be able to stay consistent with. So I'm just encouraged by that, and I'm grateful for you, brother. So, Luke?
Oh, thank you.
Well, yeah, Ray, I'd like to hear some of your experience on this. I know we brought up the question about, fornication and the reason why. It's like you clearly got right to why people, even though they admitted that God existed, why they wouldn't believe in God. And I know from our experience, it seems like every meaningful conversation we've ever had with an atheist, at some point in the conversation, something comes to the surface or some reason why they refuse to believe in God is usually an experience or something in the past. But there's always one reason that they just refuse to believe in God because of something that's happened to them. I'm just curious from your experience. I mean, I saw it in the video, but I was curious from your experience if you've encountered that a lot as well.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. It's like being on a plane and there's severe turbulence to a point where people get injured. So do you therefore say, hey, there's no plane maker? That's a crazy jump to take.
Right.
Obviously, it's got nothing to do with the planes. That's another subject. You say something's wrong on the plane and we're going to crash. I better put on a parachute. So it seems crazy that when things go terribly wrong in someone's life, that they say there's no God. No, it's just proof that what the Bible says is true. We live in a fallen creation. We have disease and pain and suffering and cancer and depression and earthquakes and floods and tornadoes and hurricanes. All these things are evidences that the Bible's true when it says we live in a fallen creation. So it's nonsensical. And you talked about people, something happening to them. There seems to be a common denominator that I find when it comes to people who are professed atheists, and that is they once went to church. And they, as we say in the film, we see quite a few people say, I brought up in a Christian home and there was just no evidence. No, that's not true. what's true is that girls were a better shape than Noah's Ark. You noticed that when you hit 13, 14, you thought, I don't want to carry on more. And so you went where your heart was because you're unconverted. And the reason we have so many unconverted people within our churches is because we have men who stand in pulpits who should have been electricians or plumbers rather than men of righteousness, sons of thunder. They don't preach the law or righteousness or judgment or sin or the blood of the cross or repentance or faith. They're motivational speakers that tell people how to improve their lives and how to have a better marriage and how to be successful. And this has filled the church with false converts, people that are strangers to true repentance because they don't know what sin is. So why should they repent? You know, we're in a difficult day and age when politically, and I'm concerned the church is losing its focus and becoming pulled into politics, and I believe in voting and all that. But it seems to be a merry-go-round we go on every 4 years. We've got a choice. It's like one of the choices in the Old Testament where God says, what do you want, your enemies to chase you or do you want plagues? I mean, so we've got a baby killer or a man, the rich man, who totally lacks discretion because he's never had to use discretion in his life. He's never had to say, please, could you do this? It's just do this. And he can't do that politically. So we've got that choice. And it's put us in a dilemma. Mm. And it's there because we've lost focus. The church of the book of Acts did not run around trying to change things politically. Of course, there had to be salt and light, and you vote for the man of righteousness, try and get Christians into politics. Yeah, yeah. But it's the gospel, it's the power of God to salvation. And our agenda isn't to clean up America. Our agenda is to get people to repent and trust in the Savior to be saved from wrath to come.
Yeah.
That's what we don't want, people to go to hell. And we've forgotten that hell exists as a modern church. We don't plead with people anymore. We don't have tears in our voice. If hell didn't exist, our ministry wouldn't exist. I wouldn't be here. I'd be surfing somewhere up in Australia where it's got warm weather. And
lots of sharks.
Lots of sharks.
Yeah, sharks, I would not be doing any surfing in Australia.
But yeah, we've got to get back to the gospel.
That's right.
That's our agenda as the church. And that's why I'm so pleased to have this film that people can share. If you can't get on a soapbox in a university and preach to the students, or go to Huntington Beach and preach, or even difficult to approach someone one-to-one, you can get a movie and click on share and send it all over the place and get an atheist websites and on forums and just share the fact that this movie exists and they'll watch it. Mm. And they come under the power of the gospel, and that's what we want them to hear, the gospel, which many of them have never heard before. They've just heard the old Jesus loves you and God has a plan for your life, and mm-hmm. never heard the biblical gospel, and that's what they need to be challenged with.
Yeah. That's right. Joy?
I want you to talk a little bit more about being the Banana Man. You said that that's your nickname. Like, how did that come about? And it's obviously opened doors for you. You've talked to people that are, like, impossible to contact. So just talk about that a little bit.
It's kind of like the superheroes in reverse. I'm Banana Man.
The anti-hero.
They mean it as a pejorative.
Right. And it gets me through the door.
Right.
It's a miraculous. It's a cape, yeah. And I'll tell you what's weird about it. It really is God's way. God will cause humiliation before he gives you a platform. And it happened with Moses. Moses had it together, Egypt, you know. He had a bit of a temper, but no, God had him humiliatingly looking after sheep for 40 years. Yeah, it was Joseph. Joseph in his dreams, I'm going to be up there, and you guys, whatever. And then he was humiliated and accused of a sexual crime, thrown in prison, a sexual predator, thrown in prison, and he was humiliated before God opened the doors for him. And it's consistent through Scripture. And I was humiliated with Banana Man. And what actually happened is for 30 years, I've done this crazy routine, and it was funny. It really was. Because people hadn't looked at apples or bananas or Coke cans like this before. And it was a routine I did in a teaching called God Doesn't Believe in Atheists. A lot of laughs. I'd pick up a banana and a Coke can and just say, look, this Coke can obviously is made. It's got a tab at the top. It's to say it just happened is ridiculous. So here's a banana, and it has got a tab at the top. It's curves, it's got perforations, and it's right shape for them. And it always got laughs. Very popular. People enjoyed it. And so I said to Kirk when we were going to film one morning, God Doesn't Believe in Atheists television program, I said, I'll do the banana routine. I kind of jumped it on because I thought he'd love it. He said, atheists will mock you for that. And I said, no, I'm used to being mocked. I've been mocked all my life. And I just didn't really listen to him. But man, he was right about there was no live audience, you see. So when I did it, it was just cold, but it was no big deal. It was just went over without the laughter. And about 4 or 5 years later, suddenly people said, that's gone viral. I said, what's gone viral? They said, that banana thing you did. I said, what banana thing? And there it was. But what they did is they, you can make someone look stupid by repeating what they say. Behold, 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 behold. And then the atheist nightmare, and they took the Coke can away. And then so the banana was a hybrid banana, and it was just bogus. It wasn't. They used a modern banana to say bananas didn't always look like this. I did a study on it, and back in Egypt, the bananas were the same shape. They haven't been changed by being hybrid. I mean, we do have different bananas, et cetera, but nothing's changed over the 5,000 years.
Yeah.
So when Lawrence Krauss said to me, how do you feel about the Banana Man image? And I says, oh, horrible, just humiliated. And I did an interview with a friendly atheist, and he says, why were you humiliated by that? I said, well, you try standing in public with your friends, a stranger comes running up and says, Banana Man! I mean, why is it banana is funny, but apple's not? Apple Man! It just doesn't have the same bend to it.
Right.
And so I wasn't down about it. I was embarrassed by it, humiliated. I thought it was good. And Scotty, my sound man that does our technical stuff for our movies, said, you know, you should embrace this because it's opening up doors for you. Because I'd have atheists show up when I was preaching and want to interview me. And I thought, well, this is a great opportunity for the gospel. And then I'd have atheist radio stations call up and say, would you come on a program for 5 minutes? And when they found out I could string a whole sentence together, they'd ask me to stay on longer. And then it would be an hour, and then I'd get invited back. So it's been hugely helpful, and I thank God for it. And I gladly put on that cape and embrace it. And like I said, I got a book coming out called Banana Man. And it goes into this whole background and story and the doors that it's opened, that I could, that I'm on Richard Dawkins' radar. He talks about me a lot, promotes. He tweeted about evolution versus God 5 times.
Praise God.
I mean, that was a huge
promotion. Yeah. That's awesome.
He called me an idiot on CNN. I mean, what an honor that is.
That's great.
Well, and that's why, I mean, I wanted you to talk about it more just because.
I'm sorry, Joe. I just say one other thing,
okay,
and then I'll let you talk. He even tweeted back in 2013, Ray Comfort may be an idiot, but he really is sincere and speaks the truth. And I thought, wow, that is just such an incredible thing to say. And I think it's because I sent him 4 gift baskets over the years for no reason. They did have bananas in the top of the gift baskets.
Did they?
And just wishing you the best. Yeah,
good.
Wishing you the best, and I care about you and stuff like that. And
no, so that's wonderful.
I pray for him regularly.
Praise
that's
God.
Awesome.
Sorry, Joy.
No, I was just saying that that's something we should all keep in mind as we evangelize, is that, you know, it's not just about being right. It's about connecting with another human and actually caring for them. And I was encouraged by the whole Banana Man thing, because I think that's the kind of stuff that creates the contrite heart that you need when you're talking to another person. It can be so easy to just get into an argument with someone, but what we're actually supposed to be doing is like caring for their soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what's funny about the Banana Man thing is that it's given me an image of being non-threatening to them.
Right.
You know, I'm so dumb and so stupid. Yeah, come on in, join our party sort of thing. But no, this is Banana Man, and I've had so many. Lawrence Krauss and Penn Jillette wanted selfies with me. Which is just crazy. I thought when we arrived in D.C. outside the hotel, they both come running up. Can we take our pictures? This is Penn Jillette. I mean, he's an international celebrity. And it's because I'm that celebrity clown and I'm non-threatening because of the Banana Man image. And yet I've got a weapon that's so powerful. The gospel transforms the heart. So it's been a great door opener for me. I'm so thankful for it. I never thought I'd say that, but I am.
Wow. That,
it's the perfect superhero.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, nobody really takes him seriously, but...
it comes in.
Let's make a movie on it.
Yes. Man, that movie would be bananas.
Oh, zing.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Yeah, bananas.
Oh, man. Thank you, Ray. This has just been a tremendous gift to be able to listen to you and hear these stories and insights. So you're a real gift to us, brother. We love you, and we're thankful to God for your ministry. And let's do this. We're going to finish up here. Where should people go to get more from you and to get connected?
love them to watch the movie, atheistmovie.com. If they can download it early, that really does help us, those downloads. And we release it freely on YouTube in about 8 weeks. So that's very helpful. And they can check us out at livingwaters.com.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So thank you so much, brother. We're praying for you and praying for this film to get seen by a lot of people. And again, we're grateful. That's Joy the Girl.
See you guys.
Thanks, Joy. And Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
Ray Comfort, we love you, brother. Thank you. God's blessings on your ministry, brother.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was way awesome.
That was awesome.
Ray Comfort, we got some inside information.
Yeah.
About a car almost hitting Penn Jillette.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I'm surprised Luke didn't make any jokes about Comfort. Like, no Comfort puns were made.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You kept pretty chill on this one.
It's been a long day.
Very professional and just... It's good. It's good.
Do you remember the Goaty Hook song, Banana Man? Did you ever listen to Goaty Hook? Do you remember them?
I do, but I don't know that song.
They had a song called Banana Man, yeah.
Yeah? Mm. We didn't prepare anything.
I didn't know about Banana Man.
I didn't know about Banana Man either.
I had no idea.
We should have had, like, banana videos and jokes lined up.
But next time.
But we didn't know how we would take it, maybe. Like, maybe he was like, oh, I'm not ready for that. You know? But he apparently likes it because it's really opened up so many doors.
Yeah. He seems really comfortable talking about it.
There you go. Well played.
The show was bananas. No question about it.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
All right, guys. Want to just thank you again if you're watching this. There's so much. I mean, we could do shows just reviewing the emails and messages that we get from around the world of people who have come to Christ, people whose lives have been transformed, people who have come out of Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, atheists that have come to Jesus, ministries that have started at abortion mills that are saving babies today because of what God has done through Apologia Studios and Apologia Church. And you just need to know, if you are a part of All Access and you've been with us for a while, you are a significant part of all of that happening. And so we are grateful, and we talk about how thankful we are, and we see your participation in this ministry. You're even a monthly donation of $7.95 a month. We know that for some of you guys, that's a tremendous commitment to give. We know that, and we're grateful for it. And some of you might think, you know, $7.95 a month, how big of a deal is that? It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. Sometimes, you know, we'll get messages, and I'll just be transparent with you. Sometimes we get messages from people, and they'll say things like, you should just give that stuff away. You should give it away. And the truth is, I'd love to. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd love to not have to pay for a building and air conditioning and these devices and this here and that
everything
there.
That it
and
takes.
I'd love to not have to pay people to work around the clock, to produce content, to edit things. I'd love it if it was free, but the truth is it's not. And it's a real gift to us to be able to have people like you who are part of our All Access that give on a regular basis and pray for our ministry to make it happen. You know, it's nice to be able to have a bill come in for content that you made, that people are coming to Christ from. It's nice to be able to have that bill come in and say, oh, we have a whole team of partners that help with that, so we can cover that cost to do more stuff so that more people can hear about Jesus and have their lives transformed. It happens all the time, and it happens because of you. So I just want to say thank you. So thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you.
Luke, thank you. Mm-hmm. Joy, and we'll catch you guys next time.